SMQBs, episode 32, week one of the NFL is in the books. You definitely have to hear how the boys did with their locks this week. It was not pretty. We get some surprises, some takeaways from the first week, maybe some predictions for next week, hopefully better than this past week. We talked Florida, Alabama, college football preview, F1 drama as always. And of course, a punchable face, a Ted Lasso. Hey, give us a 5-star review. Have fun. Enjoy.
Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're 5 attorneys. They're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Meichler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Ace from DC.
SMQBs, episode 32. House, you're probably feeling pretty smug this week, but you know, Eagles fans are going to get a rough lesson the rest of the season.
Oh, really?
Hope is a terrible thing. Hope is just really an awful, awful thing to have to deal with.
I mean, come on, guys. Our fans want to hear your Eagles quarterback jokes. Let's hear them.
Well, we're in the interest of time, we were going to skip that over just this week.
Yeah, that's the joke is that you guys think you're off to a good start. You're feeling good about yourselves, and Jalen Hurts is still your damn quarterback, and that doesn't change at all because
how bad are the Falcons? Good Lord,
they're excellent. They're a good team.
I'm pretty sure Alabama would roll them.
Yeah. Terrible. They should have gotten rid of Matt Ryan 2 years ago.
All right. Well, how's everybody doing other than that? Feeling good.
Ready to roll.
Doing all right.
Hey, NFL's back.
Guys, it's we've got the NFL back. We're through all the games from week one now. Let's talk about some takeaways and what we saw this week. Rooster, what do you think of some of these young QBs that we saw? Some got into games in various situations, not necessarily starting, but what did you see this week that was about the young QBs that was impressive?
Well, I really thought the second and third year QBs were impressive. You know, the young guys struggled. Trevor Lawrence put up good numbers. I think he had 332 yards and 3 touchdowns, but he had 3 interceptions. But God, look at Jameis, for example, 5 touchdowns. Ugh. You get Derek Carr with 435 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Those are veterans.
By the way, Jameis has been in the league like 7 years.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there are people we have overlooked. We didn't have high expectations for these guys, and they did really well. I did not expect Joe Burrow to come out and look so sharp. I thought he was still sort of shell-shocked from that horrible injury. He looked great. You have to give it to Jalen Hurts. I mean, come on, 264 yards and 3 TDs.
Do you have to give it to him?
I mean, I think you do.
I need another week of him.
I think you do. Herbert just picked up where he left off, 337 yards. It was a low scoring game. He didn't have to do much, and he still aired it out and did great. I think the league is stacked with good quarterbacks right now.
Yeah.
I think Justin Fields will be starting soon. Who knows about Trey Lance? But the guy from on the Jets looked good. Wilson.
Yeah.
Well, look, Fields was 2 for 2. He's got a perfect quarterback rating.
Yeah.
But that actually is the point. I think, Rooster, you're dead on right that the second-year quarterbacks are the stars this weekend. But I do think that any of the young kids, the rookies, I think Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, even when Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and, yes, Zach Wilson too, when they came in the game, it was not over their heads. They could all manage it. Mac Jones looked poised. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence looked poised. I think you're right. We are stacked with quarterbacks, and I think all these kids belong. I know it's 1 week.
And I left out Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray had four touchdowns. And people were like, oh, the Kingsbury project is in jeopardy, and Kyler Murray may not be the man. They look great.
As long as we're talking about veteran quarterbacks, I mean, I think we have the answer that Dak is back.
All right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you guys want to argue that, that's fine against defending Super Bowl champions. I think he had
Dak looked pretty good.
Yeah.
He did look good. Wait, over 400 yards and three TDs. I'd say he looked good.
Didn't your quarterback snap it? Your cornerback snap his arm like in the second quarter, though?
Talking about Milk?
Murphy Bunting. Milk. Murphy Bunting.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
His elbow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, it's exciting. I think you're right. You look around the league and you think, wow, there really are some good quarterbacks out there. But I got to say this. My thought is this is the overreaction week. We get actually, you know, I think this is the week where we get to say, oh, these guys all look good. I mean, did Mac Jones really look that good? Right. Tua didn't look good. And we were wondering about him. And you know, Josh Allen, somebody else we talked about last week going into the season, didn't look good. So, you know, I think there's a lot of big names. I think we got to see how a couple more weeks go before we can say these guys are all going to have good careers and good seasons. But certainly it's kind of exciting to see that new wave of QB coming into the league. And we are at that point right now where it seems like there's a lot of good young quarterbacks.
And Matthew Stafford lived up to the billing about going to a new team that was good. I mean, he made some really good throws. It wasn't perfect, but he made some really good throws and took that team up a notch.
Yeah, I think we're going to hear more about that too as this pod goes on. But let me roll from some of the fun, exciting quarterback play and talk just briefly about, as a segue, the Washington football team's quarterback. You know, people in Washington were sort of excited to see Fitzmagic here. I think the consensus was that you know, it's kind of like Wally World with him. You never know. It's gonna be just pure excitement and pure defeat at any given moment with him. But he doesn't even get into the second quarter really before he's taken out with injuries. There were some other sort of notable injuries this week. You know, thoughts on injury situations and anything that that's going to be long lasting. Like Jerry Jeudy went out, right, with, you know, was having a heck of a game and then went out with people were worried about a broken ankle, but it's a high ankle sprain. I'm not really sure what's better, quite honestly. And we also lost
Mostert's out for the year.
Yeah.
I think, is it out for the year?
Sorry, House.
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
Out for the year.
Another fantasy loss for House. I believe that injuries may have decided two games this weekend. I think injuries may have decided the Washington game. It's hard to know, but they were in the game for sure. It's not like Heineken Beer was a terrible quarterback, but it's not who had been practicing the whole summer. So I think that affected that game, but I absolutely think that the injuries decided that phenomenally exciting Ravens Raiders game last night. The Ravens are down their starting safety, Marcus Peters. They're down starting running backs. And yes, while Latavius Murray scored a touchdown, the team, particularly in the secondary, I mean, Rooster rattled off the stats what Derek Carr had. That is very atypical against a Ravens team. I think the Ravens lost that game because of injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, that could very well be. And Chucky almost threw it away anyway at the end.
Oh, my God.
Horrific coaching decisions.
Run the damn ball.
I mean, speaking of injuries, this isn't one that happened on Sunday, but you know, I think the legend is far from being back.
And oh, no kidding.
That showed on Sunday. And if
the
Giants don't have Barkley, Danny Dimes is atrocious. And the Giants are going to have a long season, but he's clearly not 100%.
Listen, to quote my good friend, Josh Milrod, the Giants are ass. That's it. That is it. They're horrible. They are. They're horrible. Bad quarterback, bad offensive line, injured running back.
Yeah.
So is the knee-jerk reaction that the Eagles now are destined to win the least?
I just want to say this about the Eagles, because I know we're going to get to takeaways. I think I don't know how bad the Falcons are, but one thing I know, the Eagles show that they will compete in most games this year. They show that they have a quarterback who knows how to manage a game in Jalen Hurts. And I'll tell you, just not to jump too far ahead, the biggest takeaway for me from this weekend actually is in the NFC East, and it goes back to draft day. I think the Giants are going to regret that trade for a very long time. Sorry, Milk, but I don't know that Kadarius Toney is a first round wide receiver. You know, there were maybe four plays to it. The guy doesn't seem, apparently from the reporters, he doesn't seem to understand the offense yet. And Devontae Smith was just like, you know, Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, the guy is ready to play on day one, and they could have had him. They could have had him. And that I think that that decision on draft day is going to last a long time in the NFC East.
Yeah.
Well, they've made a series of bad decisions over the last 3 years. They needed offensive line. They didn't draft offensive line. They needed a quarterback. They passed over Josh Allen and took a guy from UNC or Duke. I'm sorry, Duke, who wasn't even that good in college. I mean, I just don't understand. I don't understand their draft strategy.
Yeah.
The Saquon Barkley pick, I loved it at the time, but you got to have an offensive line if you're going to pick up running back.
Yeah. I like Toney, by the way. I think he's going to be a good player. I think he'll be a good player, but yeah, you know, he's obviously having some struggles understanding the playbook. But hopefully that'll clear up. He'll be good, but you're right, Toby. I mean, not good enough to pass over.
Apparently he was having troubles understanding like which shoes matched each other. So, you know, he's missing practice with the wrong shoes. Seems like an idiot.
What was the take home in Tampa from the narrow win over the Cowboys? Was it like the Cowboys are really good, or we're going to need to gel again, or hey, we got to win? Like, what's the take home?
I mean, everybody's dogging the Bucks, and
dogging the Bucks?
Everyone's like, there's going to be problems this year.
Yeah, you almost lost. They won, for Christ's sake.
I know.
A win is a win. Yeah. A win is a win.
We turned the ball over three times within the Dallas 30-yard line. And if Godwin doesn't fumble on the three,
game over.
We go up by 10 or nine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was sloppy. Don't get me wrong.
Godwin. Asshole Godwin.
Well, Godwin made up for it with his little shove that didn't get called at the end there.
That was a good call.
That's such bullshit.
Yeah.
It's OPI.
The guy was falling down, and he basically all he had to do was blow on him, and he would have fell down.
I'm sorry. I'm confused about something. I thought the Cowboys won the game. I mean,
our
SMQB Cowboy fan here sure as shit thought
moral victories are for losers,
right? Hope, come on, man. You don't even want to show it how good you're fucking feeling right now because it's embarrassing.
I feel pretty good, absolutely.
Oh, he feels good.
Yeah, I do.
He's down with that moral
victory. I do. I'll tell you what, though, guys. I mean, we got to go to the Chargers, and we just saw them dispatch the football team. They're going to be tough, and if the Cowboys don't beat the Chargers, Toby, as you know, they'll be 0-2 coming home to play the Eagles on primetime matchup.
Yep. Big tilt.
The season could be, you know, on the line already early. McCarthy's job could be on the line already early. So big, big game for the boys on Sunday. Can't underestimate how big it is.
It's an away game for Dallas, right? They're going.
It is.
LA. Yeah.
Going to LA. SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, I'm really curious about that. I mean, I was at the game against football team, and you know, obviously I'm here, we get a lot more of the stats probably, but you know, Washington let them off the hook. It was like, other than a kneel down, they were 14 for 18 on third down. The Chargers were.
Wow.
Herbert played well.
That's efficient.
But that's, you know, and that's some of that, like the Washington defense is not that bad. And the Chargers offense is not going to be that good all season, right? That's one game in a microcosm.
Look, if the fucking fantasy football team could have gotten two more points, I would have won my match against Milk. You guys let us down, football team, defense. Thank you.
I'll say this about the Cowgirls. And I know last week was the only week we were supposed to compliment each other.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there is a secondary in the NFL that can cover Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Gallup. That is a terrifying trio.
Well, Gallup's hurt.
Gallup's out for 3 to 5.
Three to five now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
CeeDee and Cooper looked awesome.
CeeDee and Cooper.
Gallup did too early on.
They exposed the Bucs defense in terms of how to beat them, especially if we don't learn how to defend a screen pass, we're going to have a long season.
Well, and we were talking about how the legend didn't look like he had it back. Neither did Zeke. Now, was that a function of the play calling? What Tampa was giving him was short little passes? Or was that a function that Zeke is never going to be Zeke again and the Cowboys running game is going to suffer?
It's tough.
I don't know.
He can't run on Tampa.
Is it a combo, Pope? I mean, you know, they only had four touches in the first half, right? Is that because the coaches know he sucks?
I don't know. I mean, you read the newspapers here, and Kellen Moore, clearly the game plan going in was to take what Tampa would give him, which was short over the middle passes and no running game. So, you know, but Zeke didn't do much when he got the ball either. Again, we'll find out. But that's a red flag, I think, for the Cowboys for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the matchup. I wouldn't be too worried about it.
So I don't want
to run on the Bucs.
I don't want to keep this SMQB centric, but that was really the sort of the premier game until the Monday night game. That was the one that everyone was talking about, I think, right? The Cowboys and the Bucs game. I mean,
But nobody's talking about Tom Brady. Just completely passed over. The guy threw 400 yards and four touchdowns.
Well, let me say another game winning drive.
Four touchdowns and 400 yards.
I know, but their defense is like the Falcons.
Can I say this about Brady? His commercials are fantastic. He has nailed his commercials. He's entering Peyton Manning territory.
How bullshit is the Subway commercial?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Subway. It's so good.
He doesn't even eat bread.
Start growing more hair at age 44? He seemed like he was on his way to bald a couple years ago.
He's on Drew Brees hair plan.
Giselle's got him on something.
How about the commercial where he's trying to sell Bitcoin or whatever he's selling in cryptocurrency? And he calls the guy in the bar, and Giselle says, "Did he say he hates you?" He's like, "Yeah, he did say that, as a matter of fact." I'm sorry. Those commercials are fantastic.
Yeah, they are good. They are good.
Speaking of Drew Brees, did you guys hear what Brees says? You know, he's a commentator now. I can't remember if it's NBC or what, but they were doing a highlights of the New Orleans game. They showed Jameis's bombs, and Brees said something to the effect of, "Well, that's what they've been missing the last couple of years."
Yeah.
That was funny.
He's got the best looking hair, whatever they gave him, weave or rug or whatever. That is the best looking fake hair I've ever seen.
Somebody told me today is National Bald Man Day.
Congrats.
Awesome. All right. Congratulations.
Speaking of the Mannings, if you guys didn't see any of the coverage by Peyton and Eli on ESPN Plus, because they're doing if you just want to watch them cover the Monday Night Football game, you turn on ESPN Plus and you can watch the whole broadcast. You have to see some of these clips. It is phenomenal. It won't be very long to when they're on regular television. You want inside football, like the plays, what they all mean, what they're saying at the line. And they had guests on like Ray Lewis and Charles Barkley. It was hysterical. They are so naturally talented for this role. And I hope they're on regular network TV soon.
So I heard that was good.
I saw that on Twitter. They were talking about it.
I heard
that the only bad part was Russell Wilson was kind of stale. but the rest of them were really good and interesting. Yeah.
Let's talk about some surprises from the first week, and I'm going to lead this one off. And this is going to be maybe not well received, but I was surprised at how boring the first week was. Maybe, you know,
Jesus,
here we go.
College, now NFL.
Is it raining inside your office?
Oh, Debbie Downer.
I mean, you know, the first weekend back with fans in the stands in two
boring
seats. And I mean, the Thursday night game, there was a lot of hype. It was a lot of fun. The Monday night game was great too, but in between, I don't know. And listen, maybe part of this is I did go to the game live and we lost. That wasn't fun. But when you go, you sort of lose, you know, you lose part of the day, right? I mean, it's a big commitment to go to an NFL game at this point. I mean, it's a 6-hour day. And by the time you get back, it's halftime of the second games. And so you sort of miss that. But I don't know. Was there anything?
Chiefs-Browns was a great game. I don't know if anybody saw any of that game.
Incredible game.
That was incredible.
That was pretty good.
Oh, geez.
I mean,
beating the Browns wasn't really getting my heart going.
Even the Lions made a comeback against the 49ers. Right.
You guys are talking about the Lions and the Browns? Okay, thank you. Exhibit A.
But that's what's on. That's what's on. Those are NFL teams.
Hey,
NFL,
we're talking about amazing excitement.
All right. How about this? Sam Darnold is actually a decent quarterback. That was kind of exciting to see.
Is he though?
Played really well.
That was the Jets.
He played well.
Yeah.
He's got the tools. I think he's going to be good.
I'm not buying his stock yet. Just like I'm not buying Jalen's stock.
He made one. What?
Not yet.
Come on.
If it wasn't the Falcons, I need one more game.
Come on. I mean, you can't really be patting yourself on the back over there, right? I mean, come on.
Let me tell you something.
Like, you're just having fun because it might be the only win you get all year, right?
You guys do not know. You guys do not know that before the Eagles purposely tanked the football team game against the game against the First Americans at the end of the season, before they tanked that game, Jalen Hurts had an NFL record for passing yards, rushing yards, and touchdowns in the first three games of an NFL quarterback. Now, you might say that's some kind of like weird esoteric stat. He started hot, he tanked a game, and then his next game, his first four games that he's actually tried have been pretty, pretty impressive. Yeah, I know. Crickets. Silence.
I need another week of success.
Hey, you guys have the 49ers come into town. It's going to be a good game.
It is going to be a good game. But the 49ers weren't really the surprise to me. The two surprises to me was I was surprised by how god awful Aaron Rodgers was. Apparently, he received your punch in the face, Pope.
Damn right, he did.
That was the number one surprise.
I don't need preseason. I'm only going to play one more season. I'm a prima donna. Who am I going to date? I'm not even thinking about football.
Cool. How do you really feel?
Awful.
They put up 3 points.
Barely. Guys,
didn't we all, after last week's pod, get ready to bronze Josh Allen and put him in the Hall of Fame? I mean, and we said that Ben was done, the Steelers sucked. I mean, that had to have been a surprise to guys.
I don't remember that.
Well, you didn't draft any of them this year, did you?
No.
Rooster said no,
I totally agree. My first biggest surprise is the dud that Aaron Rodgers laid, where he threw for 133 yards and zero touchdowns, while Jameis is laying 5 touchdowns on them. And then the step back that the Bills took is up there. I was surprised by that. And frankly, the play of the Eagles surprised me. I didn't think Jalen Hurts was able to do what he did. I think you're right now. I'm starting to see a pattern here with him. But how about the Bengals beating the Vikings? Who saw that?
That
coming?
Was impressive. No,
that was actually impressive. An exciting overtime game.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
But my surprise was the ineptness of the Titans.
I agree.
Sacked 5 times.
Yeah.
Henry rushed for 58 yards, and the Cardinals, their secondary is terrible. And they couldn't do anything. So they've got some problems, and it's the same thing every year. If Henry doesn't have a 120 yard day, they always lose. They live and die by Derrick Henry.
What was the dumb play by Julio Jones? I didn't see that. You know what I'm talking about? Called him out after the game. Yeah.
I didn't see the play, but I know he criticized him.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what happened, but
they had
a horrible day.
My biggest surprise was that the AFC West is undefeated. Who would have thought all those guys that Denver would, you know, obviously they didn't have much competition against the Giants, but still for Vegas and the Chargers, Raiders all undefeated. I like it.
Yeah.
That Raiders place is going to be a loud and difficult place to play. I thought it was going to be all away teams, but that place was filled with Raiders fans.
It was.
Yeah. That's going to be a fun division. Unless your name is Chris Nace.
Then they've moved the black hole to Vegas successfully up the ante.
There's no fun in football, Milk. There's no fun.
Derek Carr looks like a leader right now.
There is fun in SMQBs though. And we have a new segment. Okay. This is going to be a new weekly segment for us. I think we'll see if we commit to it. Rooster, who has the most interceptions in the history of the NFL?
Paul Kraus. I remember watching him play before you were born.
Wow.
Who's Paul Kraus?
The Purple Eaters.
Number 22 for the Purple People Eaters.
Exactly.
He actually started on the Redskins.
Never heard of him.
So Paul Kraus is got the most interceptions in NFL history. So this segment is the Paul Kraus takeaway segment for the SMQB.
Hey, takeaways.
Yeah, you got it. So, House, why don't you start us off? What is your number one takeaway from week one?
My number one takeaway is Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals are for real. This will be this year's upstart team. I think Kyler Murray is a dangerous Russell Wilson type quarterback. DeAndre Hopkins is the best wide receiver in the league. Their defense is solid, and they took out a really good team in the Titans. And the Cardinals are for real. And this is going to be a team that's going to go deep in the NFC playoffs this year.
Hope, give us your takeaway.
Well, last year, you know, we all knew the Saints were going to be tough, but with Breeze, they just couldn't get over the top. I think the Saints demonstrated yesterday that with Jameis Winston, they are a force to be reckoned with. And look out, Tampa, because there's your competition. I know Milk's shaking his head. Well, they won twice in the regular season last year, and I think the Saints could be the biggest competition to the Bucs to get back to the Super Bowl.
I love it.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
I'm happy to have an entire pod just to talk about Jameis Winston, but
that'll be fun.
Biggest takeaway from week one is, despite what Rooster says, the Steelers are not done. They are a decent football team, maybe a very good football team, and Big Ben still got some football in him. That was a huge upset on Sunday. Huge.
Let me ask you this. How'd the Steelers start out last year?
Oh, here we go.
Probably good.
Right? 11-0. How'd they finish up?
And who
not good.
Who beat them to break that 11-0 run?
That's right.
The first Americans did.
The Washington team.
I love that defense. Looks solid.
Rooster, what's your takeaway?
My takeaway is the absolute unpredictability of this whole year. Like, who would have predicted that Aaron Rodgers would be this bad? Devontae Adams would have nothing going on in that game. Dalvin Cook hardly gained any yards. Henry hardly gained any yards. Teams that are solid, good teams that you thought were, you know, pretty much a lock to play at their abilities didn't play very well. The Bills were very mediocre. I just think it's really hard to predict what's happening these years, and every matchup is pretty tight. There's a lot of parity this year. There's just a couple of teams that are going to run away with it.
Yeah.
So my takeaway is, and we touched on it earlier, but I am really excited to watch Matthew Stafford with a team around him. I mean,
I like it.
And maybe just as excited.
Is there an echo in here?
Yeah, well, maybe just as excited to watch Sean McVay have a quarterback that he can actually work with. You know, we've been, again, bringing it back to D.C., we've been watching him as this great offensive guy. He never had a good QB in D.C. to work with. Then he goes out there, gets, you know, youngest head coach, and he hasn't really had anybody great to work with. He did get the team to a Super Bowl with Goff, and now he's got what I think is a legit, serious upper echelon quarterback, and he's got the tools around him. That's going to be a fun team, offense and defense, by the way, to watch.
Yep. I agree.
By the way, percentage chance that Aaron Rodgers threw that game?
High. Very high.
No way.
I heard he's getting.
He's going to throw the first game.
I think he doesn't give a shit. I think he's.
He's part of a package deal coming over for Taylor Heineke to Washington.
There you go.
Out of there.
He does not want to be in Green Bay anymore. No, clearly.
That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
All right, House, give us the well, I don't think we want to talk about how our Plaxico lock 'em ups went for last week.
I know our audience is going to find this shocking because of what incredible predictors we've been in sports to this point. But in the Plaxico Burris locked up season long challenge, the SMQBs went a shocking 0-5.
Wow.
House lost with the Giants, Rooster lost with the Niners. This is against the spread. Pope and Bison lost with the Chiefs, and Milk lost with the Bucks. None of those teams covered. So, guys, how about we run it back for week two and see how we do? Milk, who do you have as your lock of the week in week two?
I love this pick. This could be the best bet you'll make all season long.
Oh, wow.
What did I say last week? Never bet on a team with a shitty quarterback. But bet against a team with a shitty quarterback. This week, Giants at Washington. No Saquon. Danny Dimes against that defense. In the lines, what, 3.5?
3.5.
Three and a half.
No way. I know Heineken's in, but that guy can move the ball. He's got experience. He's got a playoff game underneath him. They win that game by 10 points at least.
Wow.
Danny Dimes is going to throw at least two interceptions. I love this game. Lock of the week.
Is the football team going to play some fucking defense this year?
They are going to absolutely destroy Danny Dimes on Sunday.
Well, how about the football team aficionado, Mr. First American himself, the bald man of the day, Bison? What's your lock of the week?
This is going to be disappointing to follow up Milk, but I actually have the same one. I got the football team over the Giants, and the reason is a little bit different. I actually really like Taylor Heineke at quarterback. The kid is fun. He knows how to move around. You know, he's got the Fitzmagic moxie without the beard, and he just, you know, I'm excited to see him. It's only his second start in the NFL. The first one was in the playoffs against the eventual Super Bowl champion Bucks. And I think he's going to really surprise some people. He's not going to be a long-term answer at that position. He doesn't have the arm strength, I don't think. But he's fun to watch. He's going to put up some points. He's going to have a week to prepare, well, a short week. But he's going to be going in as the number one. And that's my lock, too.
Such a homer. You said the same stuff about Fitzmagic. You love whatever. Anybody who suits up in the burgundy and gold. All right, Pope, what you got for your luck?
Alice, my partner, I'm going to surprise you, and I'm going to say the Eagles getting 3.5 at home against the Niners. I like the way
that's a horrible pick.
Oh no.
That's a horrible pick.
Niners could barely beat the Lions. They've got some quarterback issues. The Eagles are playing at home. They're tough at home. They're getting 3.5. I mean, how many times do the Eagles get points at home, House? Not many. So I like it. Take it to the Eagles and book it.
Pope, you might know something. Eagles got 3.5 last week. Nice bet. Rooster, you're up.
All right, you guys are not going to believe this, but my first lock is the football team over the Giants.
Oh, despite my God.
Despite the fact that the Giants historically own Washington, even when we're bad, I just keep coming back to the fact that we are ass. And we suck.
I love this game. I love it. I love
we
that
just
line.
Suck. So they're not gonna come within 3.5 of the football team. And then after that, I think probably the Broncos over the Jags at 6 is a pretty good pick. And the Rams over the Colts at 4 to me is a really easy pick.
Now somehow the SMQBs are going to go 0-7 on their locks now since Rooster.
Well, how many locks do we get?
Yeah, well, that was 0-7.
Now my lock is the football team, but there are a couple others that jump off the page at me.
My lock of the week that will get me off the schneid. Let me tell you, someone who feels overlooked this year, Russell Wilson is angry. The 12th man will be loud. The Titans have taken a step back, and the Seahawks are an absolute lock, -5.5 at home this weekend. Russell's going to light it up, and that's going to be an easy cakewalk.
I love that pick. That was my second choice. Love it.
Good one, too. Okay. Maybe we'll get one right this week. That would be fun if we could between the five of us.
All up to you.
We got a little, we got to move quickly, but we can't ignore the SMQB on SMQB violence going down in college football this week. Bama versus Florida. Milk, give us a little preview of what we need to be looking for in college football.
You know, I used to get really excited about these games, and then Alabama has just destroyed everything because I'm excited. Home crowd, the swamp will be packed, but you know, Florida has some quarterback issues right now. We started the year with thinking we had it solved with Emory Jones, but he has looked absolutely terrible in his first two games. The positive is that the backup quarterback, Anthony Richardson, has come in and looked absolutely amazing, like highlight reels on every single play. He had, I think, 2 touchdowns last weekend, an 80-yard run. Every time he touches the ball, he seems to score.
How's your O-line?
We'll get there. Florida has a great running game. We have a Damian Pierce, Malik Davis, very experienced. We'll keep your eye on our wide receiver, Jacob Copeland, who was highly recruited by Alabama. Nick Saban wanted him. He went to Florida, had 200 yards receiving last week. I think, look, the line's 15.5. The swamp will be rocking.
Peace and quiet. Specialist Ortiz.
But at the end of the day, I think the Gators are probably a year or two away. And
this sounds like the flip flop of the Bucks Cowboys, where Milk is working his way towards a moral victory.
I would love to say we're going to win the game, but there's just no way in hell we are. I'm a realist, and I think it'll be about that line. I don't think we're going to get blown out, but
I love when Milk is just about finished, and then we get a word from our sponsor, Cricket Wireless.
Right. Thanks once again, Cricket.
If you miss the days of dial-up, come to Cricket.
Milk, will you
go out again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Will you be at the swamp, Milk?
No, I will not be there.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll be out of town.
All right. But so what's the wager on this one, guys? Come on, what do you got? What are we doing here?
Yeah, same as the Bucks Cowboys, since I clipped him for that one. $20. Oh.
No. Hope, what's your predicted score in this game?
42-17 God. Alabama.
That's a little insulting.
Whoa.
Okay.
But not
inaccurate.
Do you want the points, Milk, or not?
No, I don't want the points because it could be 42-14. Gators keep it close for the first quarter.
What time's the game Saturday?
No. It'll be close in the first half.
First half.
It's a 3:30 Eastern. 3:30 Eastern kick on CBS.
Keep an eye on Anthony Richardson. I think he makes a couple dazzling plays. I think he's the future, but we're just not there yet.
Alabama wears them down in the third quarter, but it'll be close the first half.
I agree.
Most exciting thing about college football this weekend, we'll be watching the text exchange between Pope and Milk on this.
Oh, yeah.
All right, moving on from college football. Pope, we got to talk just quickly about a little F1 because there was some drama this weekend. Take it away, Pope.
Well, you can see in my virtual background, I've got the crash between Hamilton and Verstappen, which occurred in Monza on Sunday. But it had been leading up to it all year. The duel between these two drivers has been great. It'll be great for Netflix when that comes out. It's been great for ratings. Hamilton is not giving an inch on the driver championship. Max is still leading. And, you know, what happened in Silverstone where Hamilton knocked Max out, it happened again in Monza, but this time they did it to each other. They did it to each other. Look, here's the background quickly. So Verstappen goes in for his pit stop, and he's 11 and a half seconds, which is way over where it should have been. It probably cost him the race right there. So he was pissed off. He came out on his out lap. Hamilton goes in for his pit stop, and he's 4.5 seconds, which is about twice what you would expect from Mercedes. He's coming out of pit lane. Verstappen's coming around. He's chasing Lando. He's got DRS, and he's not going to give an inch. Hamilton takes the white line. He takes an aggressive move, but it's not anything other than a racing move, and Verstappen doesn't give. He goes over the sausage curbs up in the air and literally lands on the Mercedes of Lewis Hamilton's. And in the slow-mo,
he landed on Lewis Hamilton's head.
Tire as it goes over the halo, which probably saved Ham's life,
100%.
And over his head, and ends up on the other side of his car. Max gets out, doesn't even check to see if Ham's okay. Sprint back. If it was like Toby texted, he's like, if this is NASCAR, they are going to blows right now. This is like the Allison boys going against Cale Yarborough. I mean, we were expecting them to mix it up, but you know, we kind of wondered if Hamilton was okay. It took him a while to get out, but he got out. And you know, this is just, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but Verstappen did get a penalty. He's got a 3-grid penalty for Sochi, the next Grand Prix in Russia this weekend. Next weekend. You know, Max will be able to make that up probably. But this is just the tensions are boiling, and F1 couldn't be in a better spot right now. Quickly, kudos to my boy Danny Ricciardo, who I picked in our draft, and I said I would never do that again. And boy, did he come through. And Lando Norris, first win for McLaren since 2012, first win for Danny Rick since 2018 in Monte Carlo. So I don't know if any of our listeners out there are following the F1 this year, but you need to start now. 8 races to decide the championship.
Did this hurt Bison's score enough for us to even be in this now, or is he still too far out of us?
No.
You never know. That left the mark.
Your
boy again, though, you're going to have to show up in a Danny Ricciardo fire suit for the next episode. So
I've always liked Danny Ricciardo. He's been my favorite on F1 all the way.
I was in Atlanta this weekend watching a little Georgia football and then Eagles at Atlanta. And two of our great listeners, Brandon and Jennifer Smith, I was at their house and I turned on F1. They're like, what are you watching? You're watching car racing on Sunday morning. But then they saw the drama unfold. And in one race, they are totally hooked. The Netflix started that later that day. I'm telling you, folks, if you guys haven't turned on Drive to Survive, you need to do it. And then you will understand what Pope was just talking about. It's incredible drama.
Yeah.
Well, if you were Max Verstappen or Lewis Hamilton this week, you knew who your punchable face of the week was, but we got our own.
It's this week's punchable face.
And I'm going to keep this brief because this is just chalk this up to stupid. The Baltimore Orioles I don't think they're going to win 55 games this year. I don't know. What do they have, like 47 wins? And look, I have a history of being an O's fan. I've seen a lot of games at Camden. I went to playoff games rooting for the O's. But they are bad. I mean, they are really bad. The Nats are thankful the O's are the other team in the market because it makes the Nats look like a decent team in some ways. But Brandon Hyde is their manager. And the other night, they're playing the Blue Jays, and Robbie Ray is probably one of the best pitchers. He's probably got a shot, outside shot at the Cy Young for the AL this year, having a heck of a season, but he dawdles a little bit around the mound. Okay. And you know, it's look, you could make a case that some of these pitchers who take forever to throw the damn ball, they could be punchable face of the week, but instead you have the O's manager, this guy who's managed his team to a whopping 46 wins at the time. He's cursing and screaming at Ray to pitch the ball. Just like for no reason. I mean, he didn't hit a batter. He's just mad at pace of play, probably because all he wants is this fucking season to be over. So he doesn't just wants to go home. Let's get the hell out of there. At the guy. And it's like, he's not a player. He's a damn manager of a shitty team. Dude, shut the fuck up. That's
it. Yeah. No, it was bad. It was stupid. And then Ray would just slow down even more and then throw a strike by the guy.
That's right. Yeah, I think Ray struck out the next two guys that inning. It was just
they are horrific, by the way. I mean, I don't even know.
They couldn't beat the Fredericksburg Nats. Oh. Terrible. Wow.
All right. Let's move away from that. I need a Ted Lasso after that. Pope, you got one?
I got a great lasso for you guys. I don't know if anybody was able to watch U.S. Open tennis over the weekend, but the women's final, which was between two teenagers, one from Canada and one from Britain, was everything that we had expected and more. And we got a lasso out of this. Emma Raducanu, the new.
And Tyler, too. You just muted yourself.
He's so excited he muted himself over this.
Raducanu and Tyler,
too. Wireless.
Thanks to Cricket coming back on again.
Not muted again. There you go. Now you're nope.
Oh, this is.
Can you hear me now?
This is taking heat off. Can hear you
now. I got so excited I muted myself. So
we just cut the Ted Lasso. Sorry.
Emma Raducanu and Tippecanoe is actually she was born in Toronto and moved to Britain when she was two. Her parents have a Romanian father and a Chinese mother, and she and the summer in Wimbledon, she was ranked 338th in the world. She's 18 years old. She finished, she made it the fourth round at Wimbledon. And so she was 150th coming in to the US Open, but she had to be a qualifier. So she won three matches, straight sets, all of them. Goes in, not expecting to do well, has a home ticket to go back, and starts winning. She never loses a set the entire U.S. Women's Open. First time since Serena in 2014. So she beats a 19-year-old now. They're separated by 2 months. Layla Fernandez from Canada. You know, it looks like U.S. women's – it looks like tennis for women has got a great future. What a great story, though. I mean, nobody gave her a chance.
Didn't lose a set? Really?
Didn't lose a set. Not only that, yeah. Never even went to seven games. She won every set by six games. The only time she ever went to seven games in a set was when – or to win 7-5 was in the qualifier. So, you know, she had to win all three matches in qualifying just to get into the tournament. So now she's ranked 23rd. She's taking home with her a $2.5 million check. Her parents couldn't come over and watch her because of COVID travel restrictions from Great Britain. So what a great story. First time since 1977 that a women's British player has won a Grand Slam singles title. She's the toast of Great Britain. She's the toast of the tennis world. And she's your Ted Lasso, which is great seeing how Ted Lasso originates from Great Britain.
Good one, Pope.
Go Redmond.
Let's hope week two of the NFL is a little more exciting than week one. It was boring. All right, guys. Have a good week. See you
guys. See you guys.
See you all.
See ya.
Bye.